May we turn, please, to the Bible, to John's Gospel, chapter 10, the 10th chapter in John's Gospel, and we'll read the first 18 verses as we follow along in God's holy word. John 10, verse 1, let us hear the Lord's word. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and as always, it's a privilege to bring the message of the gospel to you. Today we're looking at John 10, verse 11, where the Lord Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And this is a great gospel text, and it is one of the paramount statements of the Lord concerning his own ministry and his own death, because he went on to say, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And we rejoice that we have a Savior who loves us so much. May the Lord bless you today through his word as we turn to John chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus saying, I am the good shepherd. And so, Christians, They rejoice in the shepherd's voice. They do not follow reluctantly. You do not need to be driven to live the Christian life, but you rejoice in every grace, every opportunity to honor, worship, follow, and exalt the Lord Jesus in your life. That's what sheep delight in their shepherd. And that's how Christians love the Savior. Grace fills your heart to follow the Savior. Now, it's a call to holiness. It's a call to separation from the world. These sheep do not follow anyone else. They follow only their own shepherd. And the Lord Jesus calls you to Christ-likeness. You read that in Romans 8, that we are called to be conformed to the image of the Son. That's the whole purpose. That's where God is glorified, by having a people who live like, who sound like, and who display the likeness of the Lord Jesus in their own lives. And that honors the Lord and brings great glory unto the Savior. And that, of course, really is the work of grace in our hearts. We don't boast and say, well, I live better than someone else, and it's all of me and all of my determination because I follow principles or anything else. No, it's the love of Christ constraining us. It's what I want to do. It's what I delight to do. If I lament and complain, it's that I'm hindered by so many things. I want to serve the Lord more. I want to be stronger. I want to be wiser. I want to be more loyal to my Savior. That's the mark of true sheep. And I hope that's the call that you sense in your own heart today, that you're not here in a Christian church today simply because it's your heritage, simply because it's something nice to do on a Sunday. No, you're here to lift up the name of the One who loved you so much that He was willing to lay down His life on that cross. And you desire this communion table to display that heart love from your own life. Now I move to reason number two. That is the shepherd's ultimate proof of his love for the sheep. Look at verse 11. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And then verse 15, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now I want you to notice something, that it was premeditated. This was something he planned and had a purpose in doing. Now it's one thing for a shepherd to be with his sheep and suddenly a wolf springs out of nowhere and he's taken unawares and he's in the front line of danger, not because he planned it, but because of a surprise attack. Now that would be something, but to premeditate it, to know that it's going to cost his life, and yet he rises to his duty, he defends the sheep with a deliberate desire to care for them, well, that shows the tremendous love of the shepherd. And isn't that exactly what our Lord Jesus did for us? He came into the world to do the will of the Father. And He didn't just come down into the world to laze and graze. Rather, the Lord Jesus came down into the world to go to the cross. Let me read to you what He said in Mark 8:31. And He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. So here is something of a prophecy to His own disciples, that He came into the world to be killed. And so in that sense, premeditatively, with design and purpose, He lay down His life. Now that is where the love lies. The Lord wanted to do that. That's strange. Do you know anyone who wants to suffer and die? Now that also is the substitutionary term that he would lay down for his sheep, his own life. Now, if push came to shove, no man could take Jesus' life from him. On the night of his arrest, he showed that. When they came to arrest him and the Lord spoke, they just fell backwards. And if the Lord had not willingly given himself to them, they could not have arrested him that night. But the Lord gave himself over and he lay down his life. And that proved that unless he offered himself freely into their hands, they could not have taken him. We're also told that he set his face as a flint toward Jerusalem, because that was the plan. That was the purpose. And he was willingly, substitutionally willing to lay down his life for us. And something else I will add, that the shepherd did it gladly. That means there was joy in his heart as he thought of what this would accomplish. Now we read that in Hebrews 12:2. If you care to turn that, Hebrews 12:2, verse 2, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful Savior. And what amazing love. How can it be? I'm amazed at this amazing, wonderful love of the Lord Jesus. Do we need any further proof? And in the language of this parable, the shepherd willingly and with a sense of purpose steps in and gives himself up for the sheep. I want you to take it in and grasp it, that on the cross of Calvary, the Lord knew you by name. He loved you so much that he gladly laid down his life on that cross to redeem you and save your soul. Now, boys and girls, do you get that? Do you understand the wonderful love of the shepherd, the Lord Jesus, for your soul? Or are you just dreaming here in church? Are you simply saying, I've heard all of this before? You must recognize that this is staggering. It's amazing that the Lord Jesus, as the good shepherd, died for you to make you right with God, that you would not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the gospel. That's the good news. And it must thrill your heart. Now I move to verse 16. And here you have his final folding of each sheep. We're told, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring. Now the other sheep, that does not mean other religions. That does not mean Buddhism or Confucianism, Islam, or some cult. It does not mean a whole different religion. If anything, it would refer to Gentiles as well as Jews. The Lord did save Jews, by the way. The 3,000 converts at Pentecost were Jews. And so the Lord loved Jews, his own people. He came into the world for his own, even though they rejected him. Yet he laid down his life that he might save Jews. But he says here, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. That means outside of Judaism. People all around the world of every nation, race, color, and tongue. Christ died for all sorts of men and women, boys and girls, that you might be saved. And he says here, I must bring. The Lord will not be at peace until every one is brought in. And so there is this gathering, That's a very important work. I think I've told this story before from this pulpit, but when I was a boy, I would go with my dad to the sheep market, and he would be around the auction, and you know how it's done, you know, you put your hand up and your hand up and the auctioneer, and the bids are climbing, and then finally the hammer comes down and he will say my dad's name, Robbie Gollaher. And so those sheep that were in the pen at that time were purchased by him and they were driven out. It was my job to make sure that each one of those sheep were put into the proper pen so that at the end of the day, they were all together in the right place. And so whatever hours the auction lasted, whatever number of sheep my dad purchased, and he might have had, say, 10 different lots of 10 each, just to make it for easy numbers, so there'll be 100 sheep. And so it was my job through the day that when my dad's name was called, I followed those sheep and made sure they went into that one pen with that one name. That was my task. Now the Lord, when he purchases his sheep, he wants to make sure that every one of them is gathered in. And if you knew my dad, he would not be a happy man if he paid for 100 and only brought home 99. And the Lord used that illustration as well, that he looks out for every one of his sheep. And if one is lost, he goes looking for it. And this is the wonderful grace of the Savior. He not only dies for us, but he gathers us in. And he ensures that everyone for whom he died and purchased by his blood at the cross, that they are saved. Now then you have gospeling in verse 16. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. They shall hear my voice. Now here is the work of the gospel. This is where preaching comes in. This is where evangelism comes in. That is the great call and purpose of God, that we go out and tell sinners of the Savior. And those whom the Lord will save, they will hear his voice. Now you'll notice that there's going to be one fold and one shepherd. The Lord has only one church. It's the church of the redeemed. It's the church of all who are washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's the church in its wider scope. And then, of course, there is the church triumphant, the saints in glory. There's the redeemed now on earth. There are those yet to be born in the time of the Lord who will hear this gospel, and they too shall be brought into the same fold. And there will be one fold, one sheep, one shepherd. And that brings great glory to the name of the Lord Jesus. The shepherd will have triumphed, and he will be the Savior upon the throne, and gathered around him will be every one of his sheep, because he knows them by name and they hear his voice. Not one will be lost on that great eternal day. And we know that Christ will present them to his Father without fault, without blemish. That's the gospel plan. Are you in on it? Is the Lord your Savior? And as you take this cup and bread as symbols of what Christ has done, you're not just saying Jesus died on the cross AD 33. You're saying Christ died for me. I'm one of his sheep. My faith is in him, and I have confidence that he will bring me home and present me to the Father, spotless, washed, and I will sing the song, "Worthy is the Lamb." Will you be there? And will you participate today in this communion? And this is an invitation, by the way. I'm inviting you to believe and to be a participant in this communion with deep appreciation for all that Christ our Shepherd accomplished in his life, death, resurrection, ascension, and that he's coming again. This do till I come, he says. Now, if you're doing that, I rejoice. But if you're saying, I don't understand this language of shepherd and sheep and Jesus and Christians, I don't understand any of that, well, then how can you participate in this communion? How can you say this is your faith, your confidence, your demonstration of personal link to the Savior? And so we bid you come. Let this communion table even be the beginning of great gladness in your soul. Mr. Spurgeon said that to be prepared to die is to be prepared to live. Think on that. Are you really living? As you live each day in this world in material things without a Savior, are you really living? Are you prepared to die? It's those who have made their trust in Christ and are ready to die that truly live. You live now. You have eternal life now, begun in your soul, and you have eternal life with God. Who can live without a Savior? If you say, I can, then you won't be taking this communion, will you? That would be sacrilege. To say that you can live without the Good Shepherd and then to take these symbols of his death and love, can't do that. But if he is your Savior, then you must do that, because he called you to demonstrate your love for him and your trust in his blood, his death, his finished work at the cross. Will you come, participate, be a part of this today? You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. I look forward to hearing from you, and I do beg of you to give your heart and life to the Savior. The Lord Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He came to save people just like you, to turn them away from their wretched condition and to give them the gift of eternal life. And here we have laid out for us the wonderful plan of salvation. Jesus, the Savior of the world, the one mediator between God and men, the one who came into the world, lived the perfect life that we should have lived, and died on the cross the death we should have died. Yes, there Jesus took our hell in his own body, that we might know no condemnation. And this is the assurance of the gospel, the good news, that if you put your trust in the person and the death of the Lord Jesus to save you, you will be forgiven all your sins and you will have peace with God. Please unite with me as we just seek the Lord for his help. Father in heaven, we thank thee today for the privilege of preaching the gospel. I pray that you will send the Holy Spirit to turn hearts to yourself, to bring them to that personal saving faith in the Lord Jesus. And grant, O Lord, that you will work by your Spirit and by your power in each and every heart today. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray. Amen. If I can be of personal help, make sure you get in touch. The announcements will be coming up immediately after this hymn, Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us.
Preachers need to defend themselves by times. Sometimes we must roll up the sleeves and fight back when attacks come. Many considered the Apostle Paul's manner of preaching as weak and spineless. He did not do what the Greek philosophers did. Paul's practice was to simply tell a story over and over, adding greater details and meaning. But the story was the greatest story in the world. It was the story of the cross. This repeating the story of the cross was interpreted as foolish, or as beating only one drum or strumming one single chord. To make the matter worse in the eyes of the Greek wise men, Paul always insisted upon preaching about the death of Christ. His life was not enough. Now, attitudes to the simple preaching of the cross work of Christ have not changed. We are told in this day that we need something new. We are told to imbibe the gospel of no offense. We do admit that it would be easier to do so. It would make us more popular with many, and it would be a way to fill the benches of the church with people who love everything except the doctrine of the cross. Yet, we stand where Paul stood. We are determined to preach the cross. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2, "For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified." God has opened our eyes to that cross, and we see it as the great need of the world and the blessing of all who will look and live. We are called to declare it and be the means of blessing to all who will hear. That message has been the decisive factor in our conversion. How could we have found the way to God without that simple message made clear to us? And I appeal again for freedom, the support, the prayers of God's people to go on preaching the cross. May the Lord make his word a mighty instrument of power to your soul.
Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S 1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.